Easter arrives in New England, while spring is still mostly a promise. If there is anything we can trust, surely we can trust the earth, in partnership with the sun, to put new leaves on the trees, to coax blossoms from the forsythia. Meanwhile, I watch through the window on a gray, chilly day for the warming and the brightening to come. Easter invites us to trust in something more amazing, even than the coming of spring. Can we trust this? That love is more durable than life. Can we believe that love casts out fear? Can we have faith that love is the voice under all silences? I trust and I mistrust. From the quiet center of myself, I hear a trusting of love, a faith that the story about love is true. On the noisy surface of my life, I hedge my bets. I collect things, join organizations, and take out insurance, hoping to be saved. That's why I need Easter. That's why we keep this celebration. It is because we need to hear the old story about love. We need to be reminded about the voice under all silences.
When I listen to it, that voice under all the silences, the voice of my head and heart, well, it often surprises me. It surprises me because love can both hurt and joyfully surprise more than I thought possible. I'm not alone, of course. Throughout history, from the bleakness of winter, the human spirit has cried out for renewal. It's no accident that Easter comes with spring. For, of course, Easter's origins are older than the Jesus story, going back into pagan rituals, including Ostara, a celebration of the spring equinox, and the Germanic goddess who healed a wounded bird by changing it into a hare, an example of the surprise found at Easter's origins. While we still associate the holiday today with that unlikely combination of eggs and rabbits. And certainly this year is unique in that Easter falls on April Fool's Day. While the origins of April Fool's Day are murky, one precursor, I found this really interesting, I didn't know this, appears to be a holiday in Germany known as Easter Laughter. You ever heard of this? It was a day when priests urged their congregations to tell jokes inside the church as a way of expressing the joy of Easter. I don't think that lasted very long. This morning, some congregations I know are taking full advantage of this April Fool's Easter connection, such as one congregation doing their entire Easter service backwards. No. We're not doing that. I read a logistical nightmare. I read articles this week about all the people planning to prank their children by doing things like filling plastic Easter eggs with paper clips instead of chocolate, or soft instead of hard-boiling colored Easter eggs. I'm giving you great ideas, right? You didn't think of this. Some theologians argue that this is very much in keeping with the spirit of Easter, which can be looked on as the ultimate practical joke. The man put to death by others, or was he? The tomb empty instead of a place to house the dead. The possibility of rebirth when all seems lost. The ultimate surprise. Easter. Scotty McLennan writes, Easter is the joyful surprise that even when things look as bleak as they possibly can, following the crucifixion of Good Friday, love has the power to rise again and transform the world. How much I want to believe that. Because the work we do is hard, and the rewards are often few and far between. This past week, for instance, I've heard several people speak of their experiences with the Orange County Board of Supervisors as they tried to speak on behalf of sanctuary laws and the homeless to ears that simply refused to hear. It can be wearying, especially when we add in the personal challenges of our own lives, the losses and the sorrows, the failures and the defeats. And I'll admit, I feel that fatigue from time to time. This week in particular, on Monday, I found myself wondering how to find my way to the next day. And then I realized this week was Easter. It had slipped my mind. And for a moment, I glimpsed the Easter of my childhood. Me always in a new pair of pants, the pleat as crisp as an origami fold, that early service in a vaulted sanctuary where the sunrise streamed through the multiple colors of stained glass windows, my mother in one of her ubiquitous Easter hats adorned with flowers, the excitement of Easter baskets, chocolate bunnies, and the overwhelming sense that the day was a special one. At its heart, a story of love and renewal, hope and, yes, surprise. I need that story now, whether I believe it in the same way a child does or not. But perhaps I can surprise myself and temper my occasional grown-up sadness with that joy of innocence, the belief in the promise of spring's renewal.
Why this sadness towards spring? Half smiles at the first yellow flowers. Tears pooling for no reason with each rain and sunset. Each year, this green show blows wide winter's coverings and lets us see the swell and push of beginning again. Am I meant to rise too? To push away what leans against the door of my pinched heart? I cannot. Compassion for myself is a slow growing crop. However carefully tended, it yields an unreliable harvest. These resurrections ask more than I can give every time. This hurts more than the pains of my body, than the old world full of sorrows. This offering of love, this unbearable gift of another chance.
Barbara Peskin is right. Resurrection is painful. How many times in your life have you made yourself over? How many times have you had to pull yourself together from the ashes and start again? I'm reminded of a friend of mine, good friend, back in my early 20s. At the time, he was an assistant to a big-time Hollywood writer, always invited me to parties and evenings out with showbiz folks. He knew everyone, everyone knew him. Life seemed so good. We drifted apart as time went by, but we reconnected recently. And I discovered he'd gone through so much in those missing years. And he's written a book about it, a book really about surprise and resurrection, which he's ironically titled, Sorry, Not Dead Yet. Drugs had gotten him. He'd lost his job, his home, relationships, faced disease, homelessness, forced to do what he could to survive. I've been as low as I think a person can go, he told me. And now here he is, several years sober, married, surprised that he has had yet another chance. I'm on my third or fourth life now, he confessed to me. But I will never forget the lives that came before. Sometimes it can feel like there's nothing left that we start with, that when we survive the worst, we are made completely anew. But I thought about that, and I thought, well, that's true on one hand. Then again, deep down, I'm pretty sure I've always been the same person. I've grown, I've changed, I've picked up the pieces, but I'm not sure that I'm much different at my core than that kid in his pleated Easter pants waiting to be surprised by life. And oh, to be happily surprised by life. Is there any wish we have that is greater? When everything that comes at us, the actions of the White House, the stories of school shootings, the vile disregard for the homeless and other marginalized in our communities, wouldn't we like to be really surprised? Wouldn't we like to find grace and hope in places we didn't expect?
We seek life's meaning in the wonder of morning, in the freshness of springtime, and in each other's hearts and minds. Yet still, we hope for something more, a break in the ordinary, an infusion of the unexpected, an explosion of glory, a miracle, revealing more than we hope to understand.
I, too, hope for something more, for the unexpected, because in my soul I want to be surprised. I want to be surprised by goodness. I want to be surprised by resilience. I want to be surprised by the possibility of renewal. I want to be surprised by my own well of compassion, to discover that it is deeper than I know. Personal resurrection requires us to continue pursuing meaning in life, getting beyond the prison of self-preoccupation and surprising ourselves by continuing to find new hope for the future. Oh, to be surprised in that way. But how quickly we become unsurprised by life, right? I think back when this current administration took over, everything that happened was a surprise. Can you believe it, we'd say. Can you imagine, we'd lament for hours. And quickly, many of us got a little used to it. It became normalized, par for the course. But when we let ourselves be surprised, look what can happen. The kids who organized that March for Our Lives were surprised by one more school shooting. They decided it was enough. It wasn't just another event. It was the straw that broke the camel's back. And they reacted. And they surprised me. And look at all the people who flooded the streets. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousand people, millions even, across this great nation. Call me surprised.
After the hosannas have all been shouted, after anguished moments in the garden have been spent, after take this bread and eat, take this wine and drink, after betrayal with a kiss, after hands washed and 39 lashes, after 7 last words, and he breathed his last. After crucifixion and death, after laying the body in the tomb, after rolling away the stone, after proclamations of he is risen, now let us rise. Now let us awaken to a new dawn, a new day. Let us remake the world with the hope of Easter. Let us set free the prisoners, house the homeless, educate the children, offer gainful work to all who are willing and able to work. Protect soil, water, air, and food, and all forms of state-sanctioned violence. Now may we awaken and stay woke. Now may we rise and stay risen.
So how do we rise? Is it like bread? We need a warm place? Now we, as human beings, we rise by standing atop something. And I believe that thing is faith. This Unitarian Universalism thing isn't just an umbrella for other faiths or no faith. We're not just a secular humanist society or a club for like-minded people. And I know somebody's going to need to talk to me in my office about that this week. That's fine. I invite you. Now, we are a movement that asked you to believe. To believe in the power of this tradition that has been around far longer than anyone in this room. To believe in the power of saints and martyrs that come before us. To believe that there is something that makes our human lives worth the struggle and the pain. To believe that when we tap into that something, when we live our lives in response to it, we become better human beings and move one step closer to building a better world for all. And I'll be honest, I've got no real proof of this faith, despite being able to rattle off all the historical deeds we've accomplished. I've no real proof that humans are more than just machines taking in data, processing it, and acting accordingly. I've no real proof that the beauty of the Easter lily is more than just the way our eye receptors take in that image and process it through our brains. If you want proof, the tomb is empty, folks. The joke's on those who seek tangible evidence. There's nothing there. But if you are willing to take another's hand and move forward into the realm of faith, there is something there. It's the same thing that it's kept my spouse and I together these 20 plus years, most of them really good years, 21, he says, so. It's the same thing I see on the faces of parents and grandparents in this congregation when the children in their lives run to greet them. The same thing I feel in my heart when someone offers me a kind word when I need it. And that thing, of course, is love. And that is what comprises the core of our faith. The essence of other religions, but boiled down into the central idea of loving one another. We must have faith in Unitarian Universalism as a theological construct of love itself. And Easter, for those of us in this room, well, I believe Easter signifies that love prevails even in our darkest hours, not necessarily just in a personal context, but the darkest hour of humanity at large. Yet while the darkness of humanity more often than not is self-inflicted, we can also be the ones to create and carry forth hope born of love. This, then, is how we people of conscience can reframe the story of Easter. If we think of divinity reborn, not just as human, but as a disenfranchised human, a migrant, a refugee, a poor person, a political prisoner, then the message of Easter becomes that salvation is achieved not because someone else died for our sins, but because we are called to walk alongside those who need us. Hope is born when we don't wait to be surprised. It's when we court surprise, when we woo it, when we invite it into our lives, when we continue to welcome in possibility no matter what the circumstances. So surprise me. Surprise yourself. Surprise someone else. Live your life to the fullest. In so doing, you create opportunities for others to do so as well. That's the Easter surprise available to us every single moment of our lives.